The fourth hour of First Stop continues here on TSN 1050. Aaron Karolnik and Carlo Koliakovo with you. Coco, you see the story about Real Madrid signing this 16-year-old kid, Endrick is his name, for $75 million. 75 million euros, I should say, which is actually even more.
Incredible.
This kid will join the club in summer of 2024. And maybe the soccer world following the world of Major League Baseball, where some big tickets are being handed out. Aaron Judge gets a big one yesterday, and overnight, Xander Bogaerts, an 11-year deal with San Diego for $280 million.
Why is it pronounced Xander, but it has an X at the beginning of his name?
I mean, I didn't think we'd go there, but Steve Phillips, any answers as to the pronunciation of Xander Bogaerts?
No, you know, it's actually one of those questions that will never be answered. It's like, how many licks does it take to get to the middle of a Tootsie Pop?
Oh, remember Xander from Buffy the Vampire Slayer? Remember that character?
No,
Xander.
I don't, but okay.
So you know what it is. It's short for Alexander. So I think that you know, typically it is. And so I think that's why they say Xander from it. So that's my best guess.
Yes.
Well, I guess people in New York know who Aaron is because Arson was the guy that went to San Fran. What was your reaction when you saw Aaron Judge sign his massive contract with the Yankees?
By the way, it's also, we looked this up. You know, we're in California, and the penalty for arson is 9 years. So, you know, nine years for arson. Yeah, 9 years for arson here as well in San Diego.
Geez.
So,
that's ironic.
So, yeah, isn't it? So, you know, the Aaron Judge, it was one of the best negotiations to ever watch from the outside. I mean, both sides, you know, Aaron Judge's agent made the Yankees squirm like you wouldn't believe. I mean, Aaron Boone looked like, I mean, he had bitter beer face the entire time he was here at the meetings because he was dying to know what was going to happen. And the agent also got the Giants to go way up. He got the Padres in the mix as sort of the mystery team to set up a meeting there, which made it even more sort of dire for the Yankees. And in the end, you know, they're both winners, Judge and the Yankees, and certainly, you know, Judge, $360 million over 9 years. It's hard to look at that as anything other than a win for him. But on the other side, for the Yankees, you know, the market said that his value, Aaron Judge's value, was 10 years, $400 million, and they got him for a year less and $40 million less. And so from their perspective, they got him below market in some way to come back to the Bronx, come back to pinstripes. Hal Steinbrenner stepped in. You know, for Hal Steinbrenner, he sort of earned his pinstripes. That's one of the things they say in New York for Yankee players is you need to have your big moment. And you're in your pinstripe. So I think that Hal Steinbrenner did that. You know, it's a huge signing for the Yankees because as much as it did cost them a ton of money, it would have cost them more to not sign him and bring him back. And so I think it was definitely the right thing to do for them. It would have, you know, they would have to go up to three different players, probably totaling $80 million just to replace his impact on the team.
Jeez.
And so, you know, it was a good move for them. Not great for the AL East. And for the Blue Jays, but I think it's good for baseball that Judge plays in New York and stays with the Yankees.
We're talking to our MLB analyst, Steve Phillips, who's live from the winter meetings in San Diego. Steve, can you confirm that Ross Atkins is indeed present at these meetings and is working on trying to get free agents for the Jays? Because we're waiting. I mean, everybody's seemingly making moves on guys that have been reported, at least, to be of interest to the Toronto Blue Jays. What can you tell us about what's going on with the Jays?
Yeah, I think it was Bross Atkins who was here, you know, instead of Arson Judge,
nice.
And Aaron Judge. But no, but Ross, listen, this is the way the meetings go. And when you're not after Plan A, which is, you know, DeGrom, Verlander, Rodon, well, they may be in on Rodon, and Verlander obviously went somewhere else. But, you know, you're not in Aaron Judge. You're going to wait for the dominoes to fall, and that's really what we've seen happen. The Judge signing loosened everything up. And, you know, after Judge, Plan B for the Giants is Correa. We saw that, you know, for the Padres, you know, they were in on Judge, they were in on Turner, and when they didn't get either of them, they pivoted to Xander Bogaerts. And so it's just, you know, it's the next guy in line. Brandon Nimmo will be the next outfielder that gets traded or signed, as, you know, so many teams are coveting him right now. So we're going down the list. You know, Scott Mitchell and I put together the list of the top 50 free agents, and we're just going to whittle our way down now. You know, working in from the top down just, you know, to handle signings. So once one guy signs, they'll all focus on the next guy in line, and they'll focus on the next guy in line. And It's just the process. And so they're doing their due diligence. I mean, like, they're hardworking guys. I mean, they're doing it. It's just, you know, it takes two to tango, and some of the players aren't in a position yet to say yes.
So we've been talking about the couple Japanese players that are of interest to many major league teams, including reportedly the Toronto Blue Jays. Masataka Yoshida signed a big deal with the Boston Red Sox, but the pitcher, Senga, is still out there. Steve, how much interest do you think the Jays would have in him?
I think they definitely have interest in him. Now the thing is that I heard was that the agent Joel Wolf, who's part of the Wasserman Group, said that, you know, he visited, you know, five or six different cities, but only one country. And so now whether they did the meeting on Zoom, because of immigration reasons and such, I don't know for sure. I did hear that the Blue Jays were interested in him. He's got, you know, 5 and 6 year offers on the table already. You know, he's 29 years old. There's no compensation pick attached to him. You're not losing draft picks. There's no posting fee with him. And so what's interesting is but there are a lot of teams in on him. And so he's probably right there with Carlos Rodon as the next pitchers in line. Then Chris Bassett after that. And I like Bassett a lot. I think he'd be great for Toronto. I do. He pitched in Oakland, pitched for the Mets. You know, Senga's a guy that could throw 95 to 99. And then he's got a split. He's got an arsenal a lot like Kevin Gausman. You know, the fastball split. He does have a curveball and changeup. And it's a real split. Now, he walks more guys than I really like. I mean, what I've seen with pitchers that do come over from Japan is their walk numbers do go up a little bit, whether they're trying to nibble or work the corners or the strike zone difference is there. And Daisuke Matsuzaka is the one guy that is, in some ways, you know, he was a guy who was supposed to throw 100. He did have like 7 or 8 pitches, but he was a fastball split guy, and he ended up walking a lot more guys here than he did in Japan. And so it is something that is at least constructive to consider. Instructive to consider. You know, we'll see whether it's a factor or not, but a lot of teams in on Senga.
Steve, we saw the St. Louis Cardinals sign Wilson Contreras, catcher, to a 5-year deal worth almost $90 million, which is of intrigue to the Toronto Blue Jays and their fans, because the Jays are, it's pretty well known that they're looking to move a catcher, one of the three guys they have, whether it's Moreno or Kirk or Jansen. What is the market like right now for catchers around Major League Baseball?
Well, you know, what we found is you've got Sean Murphy from Oakland, who's a trade candidate as well. And then obviously you've got Danny Jansen, most likely the guy the Jays would consider moving. But, you know, the asking prices from the teams that have the catchers have been very high. And so, you know, there were reports when we first showed up here that the Cardinals were going to be in on Murphy, but it just died down. And next thing you know, they pivoted to the free agents. They didn't have to give up any player capital in the deal. And I think that's where you're running into. Now, the Cleveland Guardians still are looking for a catcher. Certainly the Minnesota Twins are, Chicago Cubs are, since they lost Wilson Contreras. So there are multiple teams out there looking for catchers. But you've got to find the right fit. You've got to find the right matchup with the right need and where they have a surplus. And look, there's no rush. I mean, they can keep all three catchers. They've got options on players. They can keep three in DH, you know, alternating DHs with the catchers on the Major League club. So, you know, I think Ross Atkins, I heard him talk about it yesterday, they don't have to trade a catcher. It's just, you know, it's nice that they have the depth, but if that deal's not there now, there will be a need somewhere during the course of the season, too, where they can end up making a deal.
You think it's more likely, Steve, that the Blue Jays sign an outfielder or trade for one?
I think sign one. I do. I think Nimmo and Benintendi are certainly out there. Conforto is certainly a guy that I think teams are interested in. And so, I do think that they're out there. You know, Yoshida was a guy I know the Jays were interested in. What was interesting was, you know, he was posted, and he had a 45-day window to negotiate and sign with somebody and make an agreement. I think he thought he had 45 minutes. I mean, it was amazing. Like, he got posted, and then later that day, he's signing with the Red Sox. I'm like, why don't you play this out and squeeze people a little bit? But, you know, the Red Sox jumped in with a 5-year deal, $80 or $90 million. They ended up having to play like a $15 million posting fee beyond that. But they wanted him. They aggressively went after him and were able to close that one up quickly.
So, Steve, you're obviously tight with a bunch of GMs, executives around Major League Baseball. Everyone's in the same zip code down there in San Diego. What have your nights been like? Are you dining with your MLB Network colleagues, with the TSN people? Is it with your former...
Bobby Bonilla.
Your former colleagues as far in Major League Baseball? What is Steve Phillips' time like, you know, day-to-day, night-to-night?
How about the Bobby Bonilla drop in the background?
I don't know. Listen, I don't even know this guy, okay. Steve.
He should be buying you dinner, Steve.
I agree.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner there.
I'm at our setup here to do our radio show, and on Sunday, some guy walks over and says, "Hey, Steve, how you doing?" He said, "Yeah, you may not remember me. I was a former agent." He said, "But you might recognize my voice. I did the Bobby Bonilla, Dennis Gilbert NFT." And I'm like, the first person I'm meeting when I'm here has to give me the Bobby Bonilla reference.
So you beat him up. You beat him up? Is that what happened?
I did. I called security over. They tackled him. it certainly was a little crazy. But, they've got nice, really nice restaurants here. I mean, it's terrific. The gas lamp quarter, all kinds of restaurants there. Did get out a little bit. Got some really nice seafood over the week. And heading back later today to New York and then Connecticut.
San Diego's on my bucket list. Never been to San Diego.
Oh,
you ever been there,
goodness.
Coco?
No, never.
Here, I don't know if you are aware of this, but money grows on trees here.
I bet it does.
I mean, they have been throwing money around here. Like, it's unbelievable.
Oh, Xander Bogaerts. He's getting $25 million till the next 11 years. He's going to be 41 years old and being paid $25 million. I don't get it. Wasn't baseball just going through a labor agreement a year ago? Like, where is this money coming from?
I think there's some stability now and some recognition as to where we're going. And there's some real star players this year. I mean, they offered $342 million to Trey Turner before he took $300 million from the Philadelphia Phillies because he wanted to be on the East Coast. And I'm like, wait, I thought people wanted to come to San Diego.
No kidding.
And then they get an Aaron Judge and supposedly offer 10 years, $400 million. and then they get the Bogaerts deal done yesterday, too. So money is growing on trees here in San Diego.
If only sports radio had a similar salary structure to Major
League
Baseball.
Can we plant one of those trees in this
studio? Where is, there's a money bush outside the TSN headquarters. That's my understanding. We'll have to take a look and see if we could track it down. Steve, enjoy the time down there in San Diego. We'll chat with you next week.
Okay, guys. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Steve Phillips, our MLB analyst.